Good morning to all of you and happy Father's Day. Yes, awesome. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads. Our senior leader, JR, has us in a leadership series, and I'm enjoying it. I hope you are as well. Even if you're listening online, welcome to you, and thanks for giving a listen to Mount Helena Community Church, but thanks to all of you for being here with us on a Father's Day. This series is called Influence, and this morning I'm talking about missional influence. I've titled it Missional Influence. I think leadership is important. I think it's important because as my leadership goes, so goes my marriage. And so goes my family. As my leadership goes, so goes my community. They depend upon my character. They depend upon my integrity and my resistance to passivity and my willingness to take responsibility and to take risk. Leadership is important. It's not just for influence. It's not for position. It's not for posterity. It's for the growth and the gospel of Jesus Christ to be able to be seen transparently, obviously, in my life. Some of my content this morning comes from a year ago, a time that I spent in South Africa, thanks to you, who helped send me to be able to take up Steve Oliver's invitation to me to a leadership intensive he calls Pizzo, and being able to go to his farm in central South Africa and spend time there with 16 other leaders from different parts of the world. I was the only one from this part of the world whatsoever, North America or South America, but being with this incredible group of guys who are from different parts of Africa, different parts of Asia, Europe, and leading the kingdom forward in their marriages, in their family, with their children and their grandchildren, with their church and with their community to reach the nations around the world. I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for Steve's invitation and ability to go. Steve will be here next week. You do not want to miss Steve Oliver. Steve leads our group of churches called Regions Beyond, and he's here to visit his grandchildren who now live in Missoula. Thankful to Revive Church for bringing them over and giving his son Cameron a job, but that also means we get to benefit because he's got to visit his grandchildren, right? So do not miss next Sunday. I promise you, you will enjoy it. But as a part of Pizzo, we read a book that has left a significant impact on me. It's a book I've read a couple of times in the last year with that group of guys leading up to Pizzo, and we went through it thoroughly during Pizzo, and I went through it again, and I am just finishing up going through it with a group of guys the last 20 weeks or so. But part of what I will be sharing this morning is from Donovan Campbell's book called Leader's Code. And Donovan Campbell is a former captain in the Marine Corps and served three tours for our country and to expand the freedom that our country stands for and believes that other nations and people groups around the world should be able to partake in. But before I do that, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 17, if you would. We're going to start in verse 24. Acts 17, verse 24. Would you pray with me? Father, we do. We thank you so much for your incredible fatherhood of us. That, God, there's not a mountain tall enough. There's not a wall strong enough. That, God, you jealously run after us. Your word pursues us. The death, the life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ still pursues us over 2,000 years later. Holy Spirit, I just release you this morning to have your way in us. Pursue our hearts, pursue our minds, pursue the transformation and the change that, God, you want in our lives. Through the word this morning, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Awesome. Let's look at Acts 17, 24. I'll turn there myself. That was a cue to all of you and to me, and I missed my cue. Awesome. We're in verse 24. It says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth." and he does not live in temples built by human hands. He doesn't live in those kind of temples anymore. And all along, he desired to live in us, to be in step with us, to be in relationship with us. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. When we talk about leadership, when we talk about serving, oftentimes we think, our natural mind thinks, God needs me, right? God needs my leadership. No, God doesn't. He didn't create you because he needed you. He created you because he wanted you. He wanted you. It was such a deeper choice. Need versus want. He didn't need anything. He created you because he chose you. He chose more about you. Let's read on. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. He's one who gives. He knows what he wants, but he's a giver. He's not trying to meet a need other than yours and I's. He's not trying to meet his need. You and I, he's created you and I that our own needs would be met by him. Not that we would be meeting his needs. Not that we would just be there for him, but that we would be there. That we would be there for him and for one another and for the kingdom and for the gospel. The next verse, verse 26 says, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out, this is you and I, he marked out their appointed times. My time's appointed, the word says. My time is marked out. My time in history is right now. Your time in history is right now. It's marked out. It's appointed. And it says, and the boundaries of their lands. My boundaries, for as old as this scripture is, and even older, my time has been marked out. My boundaries are marked out. They're not full yet, but I want to fill them. I want to fill the boundaries God has marked out for me. I want to fill the boundaries in the land, not just earthly, spiritually, naturally, in every way. I want to fill that territory that God has marked out and said, Jason Harris, go fill this. Be fruitful. Multiply. Multiply. I've created this part of creation with you in mind. And that's the same for each one of us in the room today. God has appointed you for this time, for this hour, for this part of history. Not for you to fill his need, but for your needs to be filled. He's appointed your boundaries, and he says, go fill them. Go influence. Go win them. Go show them me. Don't run from the fight, but run into the fight. How are we going to have influence on the world around us? How are we going to make a difference in the lives of those around us? How are we going to do that in the context of leadership? How are we going to do that in the context of influence in our workplace, in our community, in our church, in our family, in our marriages? Acts 17:27, going back to that scripture, says, God did do this so that they would seek him and perhaps, I don't like that word. Is it okay not to like a word in scripture? And just perhaps. But do you know what I mean? But that's the way God set it up. He didn't say God so loved the world that every single person, without a shadow of a doubt. No, it's more like, and perhaps they would reach out for him and that they would find him. Though he's not far from any one of us. I love that reminder. I love that part of the scripture. I love that. He's not far from any one of us. How oftentimes do we hear people say, man, I feel like God's so far away. Boom. He is not far from any one of us. It's not God's problem. Where's the problem? With me. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, because he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. I love that scripture. Our great privilege in this life is to point others to Jesus Christ. Our great privilege, one of our great privileges, is to influence others towards Christ. In any conversation, I got a couple of them this week on the phone or in person, and I just leave it going, thank you, God, for that opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share hope, to share your kingdom, to share your truth. It's the greatest privilege. I love getting up every morning. I love seeing my kids. I love having breakfast made by them today, and trinkets and bracelets and necklaces and the cards. You're the greatest dad in the HOLE world. Yes, in that hole in the world, I'm the greatest. Thanks, Evelyn. But the best privilege is sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with someone, influencing in someone in some way, sharing, you know what? You know what God's told me? You know what I believe? You know what God's shown me? You know what truth? What nugget? You know, no. I know that seems so true, but you know what's actually true? I know God seems so far away, but God's word says he's actually not far from any one of us. It's a great privilege to lead in such a way that others see the evidence of Christ in me. Not that I'm perfect, far from perfect, but that they see Christ in my imperfections and the perfections he's made in me, that they see Christ in us. How are we going to have influence on the world around us to make a difference in the lives of those around us? How are you going to influence the lives around you? The gospel of Jesus Christ is about change. It's about life change. It's about transformation. We're never there, are we? In the case of Lazarus, one of my kids and I were talking about that story this week and how everyone thought that Lazarus' life was over except for Jesus. And again, it's one of those spots. He's like, if I could, my daughter and I were talking about this, like, they were so confused because Jesus wasn't there. He knew him. He should be there. They went to inform him that he was dead. Jesus already knew he was dead. And they were so distraught because he wasn't there raising him on the day that he died. And Jesus shows up 3 days later. Like, if he's God, he could raise him on the third day or the first day, right? But they were just so into this story, and so I was trying to go with it as far as we could go, talking about it. God's never through with our life as long as we're here. He's never through with it. It's always about change and growth and development. There's something more that he wants from me and through me and in me. I'm going to share about three changes in me that build influence, three characteristics of leadership, three changes in my life that I'm convinced helps people recognize or take notice. It builds influence. It builds credibility. The first is courage. In his book, Leader's Code, Donovan Campbell talks about two types of courage. One being physical courage, which many of us think we know what courage is, right? Generally speaking, we know what courage is, and we understand physical courage. He's saying it. That kind of courage risks life and limb. It's an exertion. It's something of ourselves. And yet there's a moral courage that comes from us as well, that risks to speak truth to power. It risks career. It risks livelihood. Maybe even risks life to speak truth to power. Two different types of courage. And he defines courage as doing your duty in the face of fear. doing your duty in the face of fear. In his chapter about courage, he tells a story about an involuntary telegram that came to him in the mail. And he opened that telegram pretty certain of what was in that envelope, which basically was this. After Donovan had come back from his second tour, his second deployment, admittedly, the first one, he says he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was getting into. And even after the first one, he didn't really know what war was like, what combat was like. After his second tour, he definitely knew what it was like. He had experienced it hardcore, face to face. And so when he got that third telegram that said, "Congratulations, Captain Donovan Campbell, you've been involuntarily recalled for your third tour in the U.S. Marine Corps. Please report such and such." Donovan wondered what he would do. He'd come back from his second tour with a severe limp after breaking his leg, and he knew he could get out of it. He had secured a great job that he was eagerly looking forward to. His firstborn little girl was 2 years old, and he wondered what he would do. As he sat down to visit with his wife and inform her of the telegram, he started with these words: "I gave them my word." He proceeded to share that telegram with his wife. And many people who hear the story think that he was very courageous. And yet he says, my wife's response was even more courageous than mine. His wife responded saying, "You gave your word. You have to go do it." That's what God would have you do. "I will shoulder the load while you're gone." Wow. Wow. What a woman who'd given three tours of her marriage, and this father was going to miss the second year of his child's life. And yet he was saying, "I gave him my word. I could get out of this. I know that I can." But despite fear, he decided to respond and fulfill his duty. That's courageous, is it not? He shares another story about humility. He shares a story about quite a character. His name was Oliver Cromwell. He was a famous 17th century English general who helped overthrow the British monarchy and was very well known. And General Cromwell contracted, if you will, with a painter to do a painting of him. And I have no idea how the painting was going to be used, but Cromwell had some distinct features about him, particularly in the head area, above the shoulders. He had a number of warts. And so as the painter finished the portrait and drew near to the end, he decided to give Cromwell a look at the painting just before he finished, that he would be excited and jazzed and pumped about what he was about to see. Ironically, it was the opposite response. Cromwell had a one-look reaction and said, "You will paint me just as I am, or I won't pay you another fathom, warts and all." The painter hadn't painted in a single wart and tried to make Cromwell look as good as he possibly could, and yet Cromwell was humble enough to say, "It doesn't look a thing like me. That doesn't look like me." If you've ever heard the phrase, "just as I am, warts and all," that comes from him. I said, I want a picture of me. That doesn't look like me. That's quite a bit of humility. C.S. Lewis was the first to define humility like this. In an audio program, he said, "True humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less." He rolls into another story on excellence. He talks about a rarely known or shared about school and training and course in the Marines that compares to the Ranger School in the Marines. It's called Infantry Officer's Course. And in Donovan's class, when he was going through it, it's much similar to the Rangers, and they're out surviving, and and in battle and in these various scenarios and situations with very little food, one meal a day, if any, and for days and days upon end. And he shares about Lieutenant Kurtz, who actually was a Marine pilot and had no plans of being in the infantry whatsoever. But because he was going to fly for those men on the ground, and he would be fighting out in front of them and preparing the way for them and protecting their back on the backside, he signed up for Infantry Officers Training Course. And Donovan shares about his time and his commitment in the course. And at 2 a.m. when they needed an 80-pound pack carried, at 5 a.m. when no one else wanted to stand the watch that everybody else hated because it's the hardest to stay awake in, and once you finish it, you have to stay awake the rest of the day. There's no chance of going back and going to sleep. Lieutenant Kurtz was the first to sign up. He was the first to carry the heaviest load and serve at all times of the day and night and give himself. And he became the very first pilot in history to win greatest of class. And Donovan Campbell said, including myself, he was the greatest of all of us. Lieutenant Kurtz, he said, humbled each one of them as they knew and they saw him walk to the stage to receive the award that all of them had voted on him for, knowing they're the ones who are going to be leading future young Marines into combat, and he will be flying overhead because of his excellence that he demonstrated and committed to the rest of them. He says he made each one of us more excellent. He says excellence is giving your best regardless of the outcome. Lieutenant Kurtz gave his best in that officer's training course, knowing he'd never be an officer of infantrymen on the ground, but because he should be giving his best. He should be excellent. I have a question for you. What if every job that was done, the best job that was done everywhere, was done by a Christian? What if Christians gave their best and became the lead and the top of everything? C.S. Lewis, again, in a radio talk show, they were asking him and talking to him about his all the awards that he had won and his literature and his great literature, and they were trying to prompt him to try and encourage other people to write great Christian literature. And C.S. Lewis said, we don't need great Christian literature. We just need good Christians to keep writing great literature, to keep giving their best, their excellence to everything they do. That can carry over, not just to literature, but to everything, right? There's other disciplines he talks about. Other characteristics like discipline. He says without discipline, none of them would be characteristics. None of them would be quality traits. They'd just be circumstances. And then there's kindness, and there's wisdom, and there's others. But his very first chapter is about mission. And if you ever get a chance to hear Donovan Campbell speak, he says it's all about mission. Without mission, none of it makes sense. It's all about mission, about being on mission. He says mission isn't the course to get somewhere. Mission is what's seen far off. It's what we got to accomplish, and we don't know how to get there, but mission is going to sustain us to get there and accomplish it. It's going to help us chart the course and figure out how to get there. We have to be people on mission, don't we? Listen to what he says. He says, in the military, you know your life is no longer about yourself. Your life is about something else. It's bigger, and it's more important than your own happiness or your own comfort. If you must sacrifice those two things, that is okay. He continues saying, it's the one institution that will still tell you that. And if you're going to ask people to do that, they have to know why. They have to know, what is my mission? If you're going to send me to a foreign nation and ask me to possibly die, it better be worth it. Wow. The same is true of you and I. We have to know what we're doing it for. Not necessarily how to get there. We want to know how to get there, don't we? We want to know step-by-step instructions and God's plan. but he cares to give us the mission. Mission helps us persevere during hard times and during difficult situations. Maybe you know or don't know about the story in the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we look at that story and we go, how could they allow themselves to be thrown into a fiery furnace over worshiping or not worshiping God? But the mission was crystal clear to those three dudes. I am going to exalt and worship my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, even in this pagan culture. Almost like, I don't know how I got here, but my time is appointed for now. My boundary is set, and I'm not letting go. I have this little space, but I'm going to fill it. And I'm not going to let it be turned over to my enemy. I'm not going to be intimidated. I've been tricked into praying and being watched that my body would be thrown in that fire, but I'm not letting loose now. I'm not giving up ground, and not even the fiery furnace could deter them because the mission was clearly set and they couldn't shrink back. Our mission is to make disciples, isn't it? Matthew 28, to be and to make disciples. Again, one of my greatest privileges is not just to be the father of four kids, but to disciple them to be followers of Jesus Christ, to help put in the character of Christ in such a way that undoubtedly, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no one could doubt what they stand for, what they believe in, what the character of them is. That they wouldn't shrink back, that they would know, I am appointed for a time like right now. And God's given me a mission, and I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to fill the boundaries that God's appointed for me, that God set out before me. I want to raise kids like that. That's my mission. It's part of my mission. And as a leader, I think all of us would agree that we're not here to serve ourselves. As a leader, you can't be there to serve yourself. Do we all agree? In battle, those soldiers have two choices. In battle, they have a couple of choices: to dig in and to take cover, or to run towards the fire. And sometimes they'll do the one, and sometimes they'll do the other. But the leader cannot be afraid to run into the battle, to run close to it, to run towards the gunfire, not away from it, or not to just be content to stay an equal distance away from it. But the leader has to be the one who has courage, who has humility, who has excellence, who has discipline, who has commitment to run towards a battle. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus didn't run away from the battle either, did he? There was lots of opportunity to hunker down, to dig in, to turn away. And in the same way, he says, take up your cross, not just mine, take up yours and follow me. He absolutely does. And further on in other places, he's encouraging us to run towards the finish line, to run towards enemy fire, to represent him and be on a clear mission. With our marriages, with our families, here in our church, at our work, and in our community, to clearly be on mission. Mike Thomas, where are you? Michael, God has a mission for you. God has a mission for you. Sherry Pedick, God's appointed you for this time. God's appointed you. He has an appointed boundary for you to fill, for you to accomplish, for you to represent him. Benjamin Schwabauer, God's appointed you, buddy. God's appointed you and he's called you. He wants you to fill your boundaries. He wants you to be courageous. He wants you to pursue excellence. April Hyman, God has purpose and mission for your life. He has mission for your life. It's easy for us to think we don't carry that much influence, but I'm convinced God doesn't see it that way. God does not see it that way. God seems far away, but actually, he's very near us. Seems like I don't have purpose. Seems like I don't have influence. But actually, God says, you do. You do. Your time's appointed. Fill the boundary. Melissa Stroh. Where you at, Melissa? She's teaching. Of course she is. Good. God has purpose for her. God has mission. Ruth, you can come on up. We're about to take communion together. And the whole part of the gospel is this. Christ's life. Christ's death. Christ's burial. And Christ's resurrection. That you and I would share in him, in his life, in his death, in his burial, and his resurrection. He was resurrected not for just his name. Not just to prove that he was the Son of God. He was resurrected that we would share in his resurrection. He underwent that life change that nobody had ever done on the face of the earth before. He accomplished something. He did something not for himself, but for you and I. He gave his life. He climbed that mountain. He crashed through that wall of sin and darkness. Serving you and I. Scripture says he didn't come to be served. Again, that earlier scripture in Acts. He didn't create us because he needed anything. He created us because he wanted us. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Christ's leadership model, if you will, was servanthood. Was servant leadership. To serve, to serve, to serve, to serve, to serve. Sometimes it looked more bold and boisterous and loud, like in the temple courts with the whip. Didn't necessarily at first glance look like serving, but believe me, we've benefited from it, right? He did it for us to break down religious walls and religiosity and to make a way for grace and for mercy, for me to make mistakes and still be loved and cherished and forgiven. While Ruth plays here, we're going to come on up front, if you would, and grab the elements of communion. You can come to any one of these four tables and grab juice or wine and a piece of bread and return to your seat, and we'll all take communion together, all right? as we finish serving one another and grabbing the elements, there's a scripture there on the screen, and it's two segments of the scripture in Matthew 6 that JR read during worship. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34, there's two verses there I want us to focus on. It's Jesus says, listen, you can't serve two masters. Don't fool yourself, if you will. You're either going to love one, or you're going to hate the other. And what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these other things, will be added to you. It's mission. Seek first. Seek him. Find him. You'll find him. If you seek him, you're going to find him. Maybe you're considering for the first time, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were committed to. Maybe your mission's not as clear as you would like it to be. I would encourage you to consider today starting and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the biggest reason why you're on the face of the earth, because God wants to have a relationship with you. Not because he needs you. He wants you. He created you to see the world through his eyes, to be on mission. He gave his life for you. We celebrate like this because he first celebrated with his closest friends, reminding them of the mission and the call, even the sacrifice he was about to make. He wanted to leave this with them that they would not forget the mission. They'd not forget the calling. They'd not forget how important each one of them, after he washed each one of their feet, and he touched each one of them, he loved and cared for each one of them, and he knew he was about to depart, he did not want them to forget. He did not want the world to beat down and have them believe, God seems so far away from me. And he leaves us with an element like this. He just takes bread and breaks it and says, my body is going to be broken for you. Eat of this bread. Take it into you. Absorb it. And don't forget. Drink of this cup. This cup represents my blood that's been poured out for you, for the mission, for the kingdom, for eternity, for your family, for your co-workers, for your church, for your community, for your healing, for your morning, for your evening. That you'll seek me out, that you'll find me, that you'll know your boundaries, that you'll fill them. Father, thank you for your body. Thank you for this bread that represents you and represents so much from Genesis to Revelation, from what's already happened to what's going to happen. Thank you that yours was broken for mine. Yours was resurrected, that mine one day would be resurrected. Thank you for this cup that was poured out and shared with me. Yes! Thank you for every way you've served us. We take this bread and we drink of this cup, remembering you. I said earlier, maybe you're considering Christ for the first time. I'm available afterwards, but maybe you know someone here as well. Chances are you do. I would encourage you to ask questions. If something from this morning or some of these words have prompted something in you, don't just put it to rest. Don't just forget about it. Don't just bury it. Dig it up. Let it ruminate. Ask questions. And people here love you and care about you and would love to help you in any way. Likewise, the prayer team will be available over here to the side of the stage. They're happy to pray with you or share with you as well. As we finish, there's two books I just want to recommend to you on this topic. As a young person, I got a hold of Terry Nance's book called Armor Bearer, and I really, really digested it through and through, and have tried to make it as much a part of my life as I can to be a servant leader, to be the kind of servant that Jesus was to people and to their leaders. And then, of course, course, The Leader's Code by Donovan Campbell. So thank you so much for coming today. Thanks, Jer. I'm going to turn it over to you.